Hello, friends.
Hi, guys. I didn't do the autofocus, but it looks like we're focused. Okay.
Yes. Focusing.
Guys, how's it going?
You've heard of Beth and Jenna. We've heard of Beth and Steph.
Well, first time for Beth and Steph.
You're not Beth.
You're right. First time for Jenna and Steph.
Now it's Jenna and Steph.
Buckle up,
guys.
World. What's happening? How is everyone's day going?
Hello.
Friends, it's so good to be with you. What day is it?
Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
I would love a taco.
Are you guys eating tacos for dinner?
Yeah. Hi, Aubrey. Aubrey, Steph likes my shirt.
Look at this, guys.
It has this Steph approval.
I'm going to sell it on my eBay shop.
Steph has an eBay shop where she sells. She sells discontinued Less Sushi products. You should really start that.
Jenna.
What?
Yeah. No.
You could make some moolah.
You're encouraging me to sell.
People are always wanting the shine hat.
Well, those
who
would be.
Who doesn't want the shine hat?
A hot commodity.
Do you want your coffee closer?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
I got to drink water.
Are you drinking water?
Helen? Yes.
I'm always the one drinking coffee when everyone's drinking water.
Oh.
Womp womp.
That's right. Okay, Steph, tell us how life is going.
Guys, life is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to go to Adoration on Sunday. Was it okay. Sunday when I sent you that picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. And right before I was leaving, it was just like a little visit. It was like 15, 20 minutes. So it was like this whole holy hour, but I couldn't stay. I had to go pick up my kids.
I love that.
Chilo had to stay, obviously. He was doing music. Mm. But right before I was leaving, I just had a grace from the Lord. It was really beautiful. It was really short. And he's like, hey, just like, remember that? You're not doing everything by yourself. Mm. Like, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Okay. Fast forward till yesterday night.
Okay.
Yesterday evening-ish.
Got it.
I've just had a really long, like, couple weeks with the kids. It's like my husband works in ministry. 'Tis the season right now at the parishes. Plus, they had St. Jude, a relic of St. Jude's arm.
Crazy.
At the parish yesterday.
Also, can we just pause for a moment and think about how weird we are as Catholics that we have saints' arms.
Yeah.
Traveling the world.
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
Yeah. The guy that was like the priest that was like, this is like a Vatican relic that only stopped at 100 cities in the country. And like my husband's parish was one that was chosen.
So
and he was telling them that like this relic, this arm, because it's a piece of the bone of his arm. It's like was there when they handed out the fish and the loaves.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, like,
yeah,
it was just there with Jesus and all. And so it was just pretty crazy. So. Yeah. Anyway, last night, I mean, I've had a long couple weeks. It's just been busy for our family. And I was just very tired. And I was trying to put the baby down for a nap that he refused to take. But I look up. I lay in bed. Mm-hmm. I think my husband had gotten home. And I just went to go lay down. And I look up. And over our door frame is one of our crucifixes. And I just looked at it. And I just, like, laughed. Because mm-hmm. it was just like him saying, like, remember, I told you, you're not alone.
Yes.
I'm doing all this with you.
Yes.
So I just feel very taken care of by him. I'm still very tired. It's still going to be a couple, you know, busy couple weeks. But I just, it's just that beautiful reminder of him, like, caring enough to, like, show me, like, that I'm not alone.
Yes. That's beautiful.
How are you?
I have had a busy 37 years. Am I 30? I don't know how old I am. I don't remember if I'm 36 or 37. I was born in 86. I'm 36.
You're 37.
I'm turning 37.
Wait, you were born in 86?
Yeah.
You're going to be turning like an 38, old my friend.
No offense to anyone who's older than me.
You're 37. I'm joking. You will be 38.
Well, I just turned 37? Math is hard.
You'll be turning 38 this year.
I'd like to go back to the times where we don't know how
because
old we
you're
are.
5 years younger.
Because
you're
why
over,
do we have to
me.
Remember this? You know what I mean?
Well,
thanks, Mike. Mike said you're right. 37.
Thank you, Mike. Way to fact check.
Here we go, Sarah. You're turning 38 this year, Sarah?
The math. The math is math.
Yes.
You're 5 years
Sarah
older than
K?
Me.
You know what I mean.
I'll be
50, 37
guys,
years.
I'm entering my Jesus year this summer.
You're like a little baby stuff.
Praise the Lord.
That's amazing.
I love that you called me that because everyone else I talk to says I'm so old.
You're not old. Steph's a youngin. That's what Aubrey said.
Thanks, Aubrey. Appreciate it.
You guys, there is this woman. I wrote an email a couple of weeks ago. Oh, and her name is Flo. And she said, she wrote back to my email. She replied.
Wait, pause. Are you guys reading these letters that Jenna writes in these emails? They make me cry. Please read these emails.
Thanks, Steph.
I mean, Flo agrees.
Yeah, anyway, Flo wrote back and said she's so grateful to get my emails again because I used to write these emails weekly, and now I'm getting back into writing them weekly. And she said that she's turning 90 next week when she wrote this email, and that she was looking forward to the future. And I want to live my life looking forward to the future, even as a young 37-year-old.
Amen.
Or a 90-year-old. Like, I want to live my life looking forward to the future, you know?
Right.
It's the best. What? Nicole's grandma is 103.
Wow. That's Lord, awesome.
Thank you for the gift of Nicole's grandma. What is her Amen. Name? Is her name Flo, too?
Grandma's 91.
Isn't that sweet, you guys?
That is so sweet.
Turning 60, Patricia.
Woohoo!
So exciting. Okay, so yeah, I've had a busy time in life.
Right.
But the Lord is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been struggling in prayer, just having my dedicated prayer time because it's just hard with my kids around. My kids are sick right now. Mm. It's a whole thing, you know? You read the emails, Mary Kay? That's very kind. Thank you. So you know how it goes. When the kids are sick, when you're all out of whack, it's just hard.
It's a rough patch.
But I try to remember that Jesus is with me, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I go very dark when my kids are sick. I turn into like a psycho and I'm like, we're going to end up at the hospital and intubated. Sad. And I go cuckoo land.
Is it because you used to work in the medical field?
Yeah.
You just see the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. I would like have babies on ventilators and I'm like, this is what's going to happen. I have to like hold their hand a certain way today so that when they're on a ventilator, they like remember how I hold their hand. These are the things that happen in my head.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to cry.
I'm sorry. But
I can't even think anyway, about that
my
right
kids
now.
Are sick. So I'm on another planet with a sick kid. This is what I'm saying.
Jenna, your
Marcy?
Kids bounce back like nothing. They're just ready for the world.
Yeah. Exactly. And Lexi, also, are you still currently working right now in pediatric nursing? Yeah, Nicole gets it too. Same from working in the medical field for 10 years.
Guys, God bless you all.
Our minds need to be washed by the blood of Jesus. Our images. And
Jenna, I just
seen.
Think about that. Remember that Phoenix night? When Cynthia yes. came to sit at our table and she was just so, it was just like such a heavy
distraught.
Day.
You're just distraught.
Yeah. Because she looked like she was working and I think like a little one had passed away who yeah. was like the same age as her son. So I could just imagine just the burden of, yeah, being in the room with these little ones or yeah. even anyone if you're yeah. working in the medical field. So prayers yeah. for you all. And thank you for what you do.
That's very special. Sweet. Tell me about Bluey. What is Aubrey saying about Bluey?
Do you cry with Bluey?
What? Here we go, Claire. God spoke to me through an episode of Bluey, and I sobbed while snuggling my sick toddler. We'll never forget that moment.
Guys, I've been That's trying to tell sweet. Jenna to hop on the little Bluey train.
Wow. Aubrey cries at Bluey as well.
Blue, listen, is it Bluey or is it Bluey's parents? You know?
I don't get it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's happening with
They Bluey. Just make you like, you're just contemplating every aspect of life, I feel. They're funny, but they're so intentional with their kids.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Bluey and Bingo are just like the perfect, like.
What I'm a couple of go. Sweethearts.
Yeah. So whenever there's a new right episode now. Of Bluey, my oldest daughter, she's like, Mom, new episode of Bluey. We got to watch it. Yeah, it is very inner child healing. It is. It's crazy.
Okay, Fatima, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but maybe Steph will. Can you talk about St. John Marie and other saints' condemnation of dancing? I think Tradition in Action website talks about scripture, doctrines, etc., talking about condemnation of dancing. Never heard of
it. Are we talking about dancing within the liturgy? Are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Give us, can you give us the link,
Fatima? What do we mean? What do we mean? No, no.
Yeah, provocative dancing, I would say, is probably off limits.
I mean, I get it. I get what they're talking about.
Liturgical dancing also, actually.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Dancing, dancing within the context of liturgy, doing anything outside of the liturgical, right, outside of the context of liturgy is crazy.
Is it read the black, do the say the red?
Yeah. Read the black, say the red. But you also don't copy the priest.
What do you mean don't copy the priest?
Let them lead us. Oh, okay. Fun fact.
Yeah.
General instruction of the Roman Missal.
Okay.
There's a whole
germ, if you will.
There's a whole book on the do's and don'ts of how to live the liturgy. And one of the things is, as the lay people, as a laity, we do not mouth or say the prayers that the priest says. Those are reserved for the priest.
Wow.
So even as he's like laying hands on something, or even the it's called like an antiphonal response. So like when the priest says something and we are called to respond, we're not called to say the thing that they are saying first.
Wow.
Because that's reserved for the role of the priest.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's why even I think there's just this whole like obviously debate about holding hands or the Our Father or not, mm-hmm. and the orant's position and the way that the priest is supposed to have their hands versus the way that the laity is supposed to have their hands. So yeah, just don't copy the priest. Just play your role. We'll be fine. Don't dance during Mass. Don't clap during the Mass. I can go on and on, but that's not what this Q&A is about.
No clapping during Mass.
Why? Why though? You know, some people are excited. Great.
Yeah. You know what I was talking to some friends about the other day? We were talking about Protestantism. I'm trying to remember the story so I can tell you it in my head. Oh, what was it? But I think it was, maybe if I start talking, I'll remember. Protestantism is so much about what we like offer Jesus and like come to Jesus with. Sorry, I would say like Protestant church. Whereas in like Catholic Mass, it's about us receiving from the Lord in all sacramental ways from Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Like we receive from God. Mm-hmm. We know God by receiving him, you know?
It just goes, everything goes back to Psalm 23.
Yeah, that's true.
Just lie down. Let him pour out. Let him give. I think of like, my kids are obviously at that age and like they, you know, we go to Mass. They go to a private school, so they even go to Mass during the week with their mm-hmm. class and stuff. And there's times where my kids are like, I'm not going to name who, but a kid of mine will say, I don't want to go to Mass. Mass is boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's fair.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to entertain you. We're not going to the park. And so that's just something I've always told my kids. Like, it doesn't need to be exciting. One day you'll get it and you'll understand why we're
the
there.
The beauty of it too.
But please don't go to Mass, like for my littles. Like we're not there. This isn't the park. You don't need to be entertained. It doesn't need to be exciting. It can be boring right now. Jesus is there. And that's it.
I want to tell all of my kids, this isn't the park.
It's not the
what
park.
What are you talking about?
It's not the park. It's okay.
That is so funny. Hi, Beth. Beth's here on an airplane. Someone earlier said, where's BD? She's on an airplane. Okay, here we go. Fatima's talking about dancing.
In general.
Veronica, let me answer Veronica's question.
Okay, great.
What about David dancing to glorify the Lord? Are we just talking about during the Mass? Yeah, we were just talking about inappropriate dancing at the club.
Oh,
it's probably not allowed. Also dancing during Mass.
Okay. So during the liturgy, during the sacrifice of the Mass, but David dancing to glorify the Lord. Like there's a whole like Spanish worship song about it. Like it's fun. Like, yeah, I can just picture my mother-in-law dancing right now to this song.
Okay.
But like, so dancing and like having like an extension of your praise is beautiful if that's your charism and if that's the way you want to praise. We are called to praise the Lord, right? And everyone will do that differently. And so dancing is beautiful. Dancing or even outstretching your hands as a sign is, you know, if that's how you're called to have an outward expression of your praise, so be it. But in the context of the liturgy itself, we reserve that time for the sacred, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I would say David dancing, he was doing his thing. He was praising the Lord.
Okay, Fatima said, no, dancing in general, like St. John Vianney, I believe condemned people going to ballroom dancing at a time when dancing was the waltz. He and other saints, popes condemned dancing, and I wanted to know y'all's opinion or further insight. We'll have to read about it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the saints just, the saints were just humans like us. And so if they were trying to warn us from a near occasion to sin, why not, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that is an opinion, though. I don't think there's a church teaching on if we're allowed to dance or not. I would say I don't see if it's, again, I think everything we do, not just dancing, but, like, everything should point back to the Lord, right? And so if it's causing us to feel like.
Lots of things. Dancing can cause us to feel vanity, jealousy, I don't know, lust, lots of things.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Pluck your eye out if you need to. I don't know.
You guys, the other day, what was I doing? Dancing. I did something. I'm not dancing. It was something with my kids or something. Ugh, I can't remember it. But I was like, Lord, do you want to cut off my hand? Like, this is causing me to sin.
Why
in
has
this
this
way?
Been coming up so much for me?
What about cutting off body parts?
Yeah. Take your eye out. Cut your arm off.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like the Lord's inviting us to, like, I think if we really think about it, there is a thing that we all could cut off.
Yes.
That we have not yet in our lives, you know?
Yes.
I'll leave that there. Plant a little seed.
So true.
Let the Lord tell you the rest.
So true. I want to hear yours, but I'll leave you. Okay, here we go. Beth said, St. Francis de Sales also talks about dancing, apparently. Fatima, if you want to read about that, it might confuse you more, though. But Beth said it was the equivalent of the club, like club dancing.
Oh, clubbing.
Yeah. Mary Colleen, when you think of dance in light of theology of the body, it can be such a beautiful prayer.
Anything and everything should be in light of theology of the body, you know, knowing God's plan for our bodies.
So true.
I recommend.
So true. Yeah. I like dancing too.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah. Like with my kids.
I only like dancing with my kids.
Yeah. I mean, they're so fun.
Yeah, they are.
That's and it. When they're little, they think you're a good dancer. But when they get bigger, they know that you're not.
Yeah. Guys, today, I think I'm this year's old. Today, I purposely embarrassed my daughter outside of her classroom.
Okay.
Not like humiliated her, but I knew she was going to be like squirmy about it. And she's like, Mom, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, baby.
But it was just because I hugged her and I was like, bye, have a great day, Sassy. And she's like, Mom. And other kids were walking past her. I don't know. I was just thinking of how kids think you're cool one day and then the next you're not.
They're mad at you about all the things. Okay. Steph, tell me about how learning has been for you on your, in your life and in like your spiritual life too.
Okay. So learning for me, well here, let me start by saying I have a twin sister.
Okay.
So everything was a competition. Who was better at who than who at what? Okay.
So, I love this. I love competition.
And I will take this time. Even
do you,
though
are you the winner generally?
Come on, Jenna. I'll take this time to say our second or third grade class spelling bee, yours truly, beat her sister spelling the word muscle.
Muscle. It's a hard word.
Yeah.
Trying to trick you.
So intellectually, we always, I had this like draw to just always want to be better than her and her be better than me. So we like desired getting good grades and being smart and having like first honors and blah, blah, blah. And it also like, it was a gift I think that came to us to like have a desire for school and to like gain knowledge. So for me growing up, I wanted to like finish my math test before everybody else. Like I wanted to do these things.
Yeah.
And then in high school, it was kind of like a, why did I give myself so much more work? Now they're throwing me in like AP classes because I tested out of these classes.
Right.
And even in college, I never took like SATs or ACTs. Mm-hmm. I just took a math placement test and I'm over here like in a calculus class
as a freshman
psych major. And I'm like, what am I doing to myself? So later I learned that like, knowledge and like this is this desire to be like a good student and have good grades and academic achievements was like a tool, but it wasn't like everything for me. And I felt a release from that. But it's still then when I started to grow in like my love for the Lord and like my love for the church, I went back into like this hunger to like learn about my faith and like study it. And I had like, I was on this quest to like learn so much, and like apologetics was my jam. And like, I loved learning and I loved having knowledge of things and of Jesus and of his church. But it also then I realized it got in the way of like my actual relationship with him, in the sense that I desire to learn more about him than to get to know him. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And so now but it's a gift. I think I've thanked the Lord repeatedly over and over again. And I like stopped going to school for my undergrad for 7 years. 'Cause then I got married, had kids, was working full time. My husband was working in ministry. So like I took like this huge break, and then I was able to go back to school and finish during the pandemic. Mm. Crazy enough.
Yeah.
But I always thank the Lord for my desire to learn and to be a student and to gain knowledge. I then was able to just kind of like, he's helped me think of it as like, I have a backpack full of information if I needed it. But like, sometimes you can put the backpack down and just have a conversation with me, wow. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I get a little weary sometimes, or like not weary. I get a little skeptical of like, my inclination to want to learn more about things sometimes. So I'm like, is that my hunger for knowledge? Or like, is it, I know it comes from a good place, but like, Lord, do you even want me like to just spend so much time, I don't know, trying to find facts or trying to figure things out about you or your church rather than have a conversation with you?
You said that you're competitive with your sister.
I'm competitive with everyone.
Okay. Has that translated at all into like the spiritual life in terms of like, I want to know more than other people know?
No.
Okay.
I've always felt very underdog in like my spiritual life and even my knowledge of the faith. I've always felt like I need to learn more to like even be on like the same like playing field as everyone else. So it's different, I think, than like academics. Like, because I think you can measure that, right? You can measure being the top of your class, being the top 5% in your grade, like getting good grades.
For sure.
Your AP exam scores. Like, you can measure those things, but like, you can't really measure, I don't know, your formation, you know?
Yeah.
So I've always felt opposite. Always like, oh no, I don't know enough.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I'm curious what you guys are like. Are you like your relationship with the Lord? Do you want to know everything? And how is that aided in your spiritual life? Or are you like, I don't know anything, and almost you don't even feel like you want to learn anything? Is anyone there? Okay. Mary said over on Facebook, in high school, I tested into a way higher math class than I wanted to. So I chose an easier one. Ever since then in my life, I'm very discerning of the challenges I take on, making sure that if I'm challenging myself, it's in an area I feel God is calling me to learn.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That included leaving a very challenging job in order to focus on my faith and vocation. Mary, that is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that witness. That's incredible. Noelle, knowledge is one of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I thought there were 12.
7.
I don't have that one. I asked for it on my confirmation, didn't get it.
You have
I don't
it.
Know
you
what
it.
Knowledge
you
is.
Activated
what is
it.
That?
Knowledge is like the gift of knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
Does
just
it
the
have
way
to
that
do with this. Learning? Oh, isn't it like understanding?
It's a separate gift.
I don't understand.
Knowledge.
Or have knowledge.
Understanding.
Okay.
Wisdom.
Those confuse me because they're all three
Fortitude.
Very similar.
Fear of the Lord, or piety, and counsel, right?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. All of you guys all know those. Okay, what do you guys have? Tell me what knowledge is. It's just knowing things.
It's just like maybe it's not even just knowing, but like also retaining, you know?
Okay.
Give me the gift of knowledge.
Which is different than understanding.
Yeah, because I feel like you can go through a situation. I shared this, like I didn't realize until I had the fullness of the gift of understanding that like my grandma's passing away was an aid in my like relationship with the Lord, like connection with the Lord, because like she passed away and immediately my dad moved us out of California to Arizona. And then they like, you know, they went on like this like faith journey of like, you know, where's God in all of this? And they signed us up for confirmation classes. And then that led me to go on my first retreat. And then I, you know, it just, it was like this domino effect. But I think with the gift of understanding, I was able to understand like there, this was a really traumatic and horrible like experience, earthly experience that I went through, but it also was, it wasn't for nothing. Like it was beneficial in my walk with the Lord.
Yeah, for sure.
But I would only see, I would only see that through like the gift of understanding now.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to keep having this convo over on the app. So y'all on Facebook and YouTube, come on over.
We're waiting.
Cause we got lots more. I want to hear about all of you guys on the app sharing your thoughts on learning and all of that jazz. Okay. We'll see you over there.
Bye.
Bye, Facebook and YouTube. All right, gals, let me read what you have to say. Claire, I want to know everything. I wish I could spend all day, every day studying scripture and the saints. Love it. Claire, I want to hear how that like, how that helps in your relationship with the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, where's that desire coming from?
Or well, to, like, how does that affect it? Is it like you have like a deeper love of Jesus because you've like read about the saints' lives or?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it helped me because it helped me trust him. Like there was just like arguments for.
Okay. You know, yes.
His case and what he said was true.
Yes.
So I think like once I started, like things like started making sense and I'm like, cool, I get it. Okay. Like you mean this is what you meant.
Yes.
And this is how you've proven it over time.
Yes. So as someone who, some people have said that of the three virtues, sometimes we struggle with one the most. And the one that I struggle with the most is faith. And so the idea of like learning more, I remember when I first read The Case for Christ by a Prodi, can't remember his name. But there's also that movie that came out about it. Same story. It was just like very helpful to me as someone who struggles with faith to see this man who tried so hard to disprove it and then just constantly be met with the truth and the truth of Jesus, which has helped so much in times where I struggle and doubt to like fall back on this is the truth. Like I can trust you. So similar to just what you said of like, I can trust Jesus more, trust the Lord more. But sometimes I just want it to all be in my head and I don't want to have to like go learn about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I get excited when I learn about something new. Okay. Like the other day during Q&A, Beth said a word on that after Q&A. I was like, what does that word mean?
Okay.
And she told me about it. And then like later on that day, I'm like looking it up. I'm
like, that's cool.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's so like rewarding to not know every, like not rewarding. It's like humbling to not know everything, you know?
Yes. But what is that that's missing in me that I don't like want that? Lord, fix me.
No. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
Shalom, I have a deep desire to learn more about our faith as a cradle Catholic. But what you're saying, Steph, that you want to get to know Jesus and have a relationship with him is so beautiful. Yeah. How has that manifested in terms of, I want to know a lot. Oh, but also I should put the backpack down.
Yeah. Yeah, because he totally loves me just as much if I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And if I know everything. Like I don't know, it goes back to like identity.
Yeah.
Like he just loves me. Even when I don't win. When I am not better than someone at something, or when I maybe act out of like my frustration, or you know, I fall short, or he just loves me. And so that matters a lot more to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think then like what I think about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've really been fascinated with apologetics lately. Also love Trent Horn. So good. But also need to make sure I'm seeking relationship with Jesus and not just knowledge about him and the church.
guys, seeking out knowledge is not bad. It's just, you know, it's just a both and, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Always trying to learn more. Jesse said, seeking direction from the Holy Spirit. Noelle, knowledge empowers an individual to use their mind, study, and analytical skills to synthesize information that helps us better understand God and the world. Wow. Possible expressions include researcher, teacher, professor, other roles that involve bringing together information. Brianna, I always struggled with school, and when I was 25, I was finally diagnosed with ADHD. Everything I went through as far as school and work made sense, and once I started using the tools and tricks for ADHD, work became so much easier, and I was able to go back to school to become a nurse. That's beautiful.
Yeah, once upon a time, I was a teacher, and I learned this very quickly. Like, I mean, I knew this because my husband and I learned so differently, and we study so differently. He's like a creative and like an artsy person, and I'm not. But when I became a teacher and I was just like, wow, some of my stuff is not landing. I need to tweak this to make sure that like everyone is able to understand what I'm presenting.
Yeah.
Because you don't want people to feel like, what's wrong with me? You know, why am I not getting this? And it's like, well, because your brain needs to hear it a different way.
Well, I do think that's why it is so beautiful to learn about how the saints are so different.
Yeah.
Like St. Thomas Aquinas approached the Lord and his relationship with the Lord so differently than St. Elizabeth of the Trinity.
Wow.
Or St. Teresa of Calcutta. You know what I mean? Like they received him totally differently and expressed what they were receiving so differently in their lives. Yeah. And like, that's just so beautiful. It's such a testament to how he's so loving and generous with us in the different ways that our minds work too.
Yeah. There's this saint, St. Andre Bossette.
Okay.
And he just had like this huge desire to become a priest and to he was in Canada, I believe. And they didn't let him because he didn't know anything. Like he basically didn't know anything. And he basically, he wanted to enter into the, like the monastery, I guess. No, not the monastery. Is it the monastery? I don't know. Where all the priests were hanging out, basically.
Okay.
And he wanted to enter, and they were just like, I don't know if you can become a priest because you just don't really, like, you don't have the intellect.
Wow.
And he stayed there, and he, like, was a greeter, and he opened doors, and he interceded for people. And there were a lot of healings through his intercession. And like during his funeral and when he was canonized, just the amount of people that showed up to honor him and his life, even when he was told that he wasn't smart enough to do what he desired to do, just the impact that he had on people and the way that the Lord used him. I think that's why I love him as a saint. It's just like he didn't have what the world said he needed to have, or like society, or even like his desires were kind of shot down, but it didn't stop him from finding a way to serve God and serve the church.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Claire said practical methods for practicing faith through all the different seasons and experiences. The more I learn about Jesus and the Trinity and our mother, the more I love them and feel close to them. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Because that is the point. Like the point is not to be an intellectual, to be an intellectuals for that sake.
Right.
Like the reason is to know more about the heart of God and in that to like fall more in love with him and even to let him love you more in that too. Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Yeah. Molly said, I've had different seasons. Some are seasons for learning, refining my understanding of the faith, and other seasons I feel more drawn to just be, to pray, to watch God in my life. I used to get disappointed in myself during seasons I didn't really want to pick up a theological book, like I was lazy. But right now, in a season of deep suffering, I just want to sit with Jesus, even when I have no words. Molly, that's literally everything.
We figured it out.
Like, that is discernment.
Yeah.
That is you listening to the voice of God in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Steph. I was just going to say, once you get to the point where you're okay sitting at his feet.
Yeah.
There's no book that can give you that, you know?
Yes. Yes. No, I feel that so deeply. I think even in like seasons of practical of life where in the practical life is hard. Like if circumstances are really hard, it can be difficult to like turn on our brain to an intellectual theological book when we're like drowning, as you said, like in times of suffering, I just have to sit there and be. Mm-hmm. And like, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, everything is cyclical. Like it'll come back around. I have a friend who says this. She says, this is how it is right now, but it won't always be like this.
Wow.
And that's been like so freeing for me. Mm-hmm. Even like, as I said, my kids are sick. I'm like, this is how it is right now. And again, to me, I'm like on another level. My kids are sick, but to remind myself, it won't always be like this. So if you are in a season where it's like, I have no desire to pick up a theological book, it's like, that's how it is right now, but it won't always be like this. Mm-hmm. Like it'll come around, and staying close to the Lord will have this like piqued interest to know more about him. Or if a word stands out to mm-hmm. us, we go and research that or learn about it, or a saint.
I think it's also beautiful to ask the Lord for a desire to learn more, you know, if you don't feel like you have that, but also just, I want to give you the space to kind of just let go of any shame you may have about not knowing. As a cradle Catholic, there's times where we're just not taught a lot about our faith, and we feel like we're so far behind when it comes to like what other people know and like how. Okay. So like, that's not your fault. And there are, you know, we have opportunities to grow in our faith and to learn more. The catechism is a great place to start, but just know that like the Lord, again, that's not your identity, is how much you know of these theological truths. But also ask the Lord to help you. Like if you have a desire to, or want a desire for that, you can ask for it.
That's so good. Yeah. Belen said, it's honestly super intimidating to grow in faith, especially when you've only been exposed to one way, which is worship for her. I don't even know where to start in my desire to open the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think this is the best place to start.
Yeah.
Yes. What's like one really good spiritual book that you kind of recommend to, I wouldn't say a newbie, but maybe someone who isn't super into the intellectual?
Ooh, okay. A book I would suggest.
I'm looking at Best Bookshelf to see.
It's a book that I gifted Jenna that she probably hasn't read.
That's a lot. I'm saying you got to go easier.
No, it is. A Father Who Keeps His Promises, I think, is a great, not super crazy intellectual theological read. It's by Dr. Scott Hahn, and it basically is just a reiteration of the covenants that God has made with his people and how he's keeping his promises to us as our Heavenly Father and how he continues to do that. So I would say A Father Who Keeps His Promises would be a great one.
Okay.
It just sets the tone for our relationship with God the Father, which is everything, you know?
Yeah.
So I would start there. And then we've talked about it so many times, but truly Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist.
Yes.
It's the first book that I like didn't put down to stop reading. Like I just needed to like read the whole thing. It was just so good. And I was just like, okay, I need to share this with someone immediately. And like, there were, like, I'm sure I got like on my husband's nerves. So I'm like, okay, let me tell you another line. Let me tell you something else. But Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist would be another one. Father Who Keeps His Promises.
Why does this say card full? That's what I want to know.
Steph. Oh, because of the.
I formatted it.
After the.
This is weird, guys.
After the member thing.
Yeah.
Sad times.
So sorry. I think I'm going to have to keep clicking that. Okay, Noel, Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. Mm. He is my I am obsessed with Father Jacques Philippe.
Love.
Like so much. He just had a new book come out also. Belen, check this out. It's called Thirsting for Prayer. And I think that's actually a lot about it, is like our desire and how to like pray.
Yeah.
And want that, continue to want it, you know?
Is that the one with like, it's like bluish green on the cover?
No, it's white.
Which one's that bluish green one? Is that Searching for and Maintaining?
Maybe. She doesn't have any in here.
Well, crazy, it's because she let me borrow it.
Oh.
That's like, it's at home.
Yeah. Also, I haven't read this, The Way of Trust and Love. Have you read this?
A Retreat Guided. No.
By Father Jacques Philippe.
She just has all the exclusives here.
I know. Anyway, she loves this book. It says A Retreat Guided by St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Have you guys all read this? Would this be a good one to start? Okay. Sorry about the card fall. Okay, this is a good one. Literally everything by Father Jacques Philippe, I'm obsessed with him. Also, if you haven't read Scott Hahn, I just have to say you must start with Rome, Sweet Home.
I've never read Rome,
Sweet Home. Rome, Sweet Home is the greatest book ever. I'm obsessed with it.
Can you read A Father Who Keeps His Promises next?
I think what I struggle with on the audiobook is that it's not Scott.
Okay, then I have the book in my office.
Okay. Yeah, lend me the book.
It's a good one.
I'm like, the whole time, I just wish I was hearing Scott's voice.
I think also when you start picking up books, you kind of realize that there's specific authors that are just like, those are the ones
that, yes, that you love.
That you love. I love Dr. Edward Shree.
Yeah, I've never read him. I did try to read Rethinking Mary, and I was like, this is too much
for me. He's also...
Same with Bram Petrie. I tried that. I couldn't read it.
What?
I know. What's wrong with me?
Nothing is wrong with you. You're a poet, though, you know?
Maybe, so, which one am I not going to like?
Maybe colorful, I feel.
This is why Father Jacques Philippe is my spirit animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you miss them?
Promise it. Oh, she thinks I still won't like it, even if it's not an audiobook. Father Who Keeps His Promises.
Probably.
Taylor said, I think of Psalm 131. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. If what I'm learning is bringing about more anxiety for me, I've learned it's okay to put it down. Wow. Sometimes we try to teach ourselves something that the Lord is not even intending to teach us yet. The Holy Spirit will highlight what to go deeper with. That is
love.
So good.
Yeah.
So that's why I have a block to my father. The father?
A father.
A father who keeps his promises. The Lord's like, I'm not ready for you to read this yet.
But you know what, Jenna? The way that you read has blessed me. Because
why?
I do not like fictional reading.
Okay.
And I told her this.
Yeah.
And so she sent me a book that arrived to my house literally as we were packing up to go on a road trip. So what else do I have to do for the next 5 hours?
Right.
And I can read in the car. I know some people probably can't.
Yeah, I can't.
It's a whole thing.
Right.
But it's the only, I realized like I can give fiction a chance. I'm invested in the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be one of those Kindle girlies that's just like, read my 12th book. It's only, you know, April 23rd. And I'm like, great. That's amazing.
Is that a Kindle person?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, at least the ones I've seen, they're talk. Just like, yeah. Book.
Isn't that what it's called? Book talk?
Probably. Sure. I'm just like,
are any of you guys on BookTok?
Yeah.
Do people really use Kindle? I don't think I knew that.
Stop. I think it's coming back. It's like resurfacing. But I'm like, you know what else is cool? The 73 books in the Bible. Let's read
Steph
those.
Is
let's
trying to get everyone to read the
let's
Bible.
Let's challenge ourselves to read the Bible.
Which is good.
How many There's books can we get through? There. You know? That's just my opinion, at least.
Okay. Lexi, have you read The Well trilogy by Stephanie Lansom? What's wrong? Here we go. Look at these people using Kindle. Yeah. I didn't know that. I've tried to use Kindle. I don't actually have, let me preface or back up. I don't own a Kindle, but I tried the Kindle app.
Oh.
So I tried to read Kindle things on my Kindle app and it just wasn't the same. So maybe I should actually get a Kindle.
This is going to sound horrible. But I don't have a Kindle because it's not an Apple product that can't be synced to everything.
Wow.
Because if I like put this down, I'm not responsible enough to carry it around with
me. It is kind of crazy to me that Apple doesn't have something like that.
I mean, just your iPad and books. Like
I know, but the good thing about the Kindle is that it's like a book. Mm-hmm. So it's not messing with your light. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Apple also has like the screen protectors that you can put on your iPad. Oh. You can make everything dark mode.
They've thought of everything.
You can dim the lighting. Yeah.
Are you going to get the goggles, Steph?
No. Are there goggles coming
out? Are there Apple goggles? You can like live on an alternate universe.
Oh, are you talking about like the Oculus? I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, Adela said Kindle's amazing because while you're breastfeeding, you don't have to flip the page. What do you just
Wait,
it?
What do you do?
You're going to sell Kindle. Susie, I love my Kindle, but I want the real book when it's a spiritual book. Oh, that's interesting because you mark it up or what?
Guys, we bought my mom a Kindle. I'm all for it. I just don't have one or use it.
Okay, Claire, what?
What?
Not fiction, but reads like a story. The Woman in the Trees, a novel about America's first Marian apparition. Beth and I recorded two episodes for the podcast, which is going to be coming out in June.
Ooh.
And in this first episode, we were talking about how Our Lady of Guadalupe is so loved here in the United States of America because she's the patroness of the Americas. But then we were like, there's an actual Marian apparition from Michigan, I think it was. Or is it Wisconsin? Tell me, Claire. Anyway, did you know that?
Did not know that. Wait, did I know that?
No, Our Lady of the Champion. I think that's what, Our Lady of Champions?
Wow.
Tell me what it is.
If that's her Champion. Name?
Yes.
I'm invested just because of the name.
There you go,
her.
Steph.
I don't worry about the champion.
But isn't that funny that there's a, OLG gets all the love here, but we have an actual Marian apparition that happened here too. And we don't, she gets no love.
Yeah. Well, it's because we're not talking enough about her.
Yeah, that's true. We got to talk about her. Blessed if she's going to single-handedly rise up Our Lady of
Champion. Let's do it. OLG gets the shine because she's...
I mean, how rad is OLG? I got to read about the Woman in the Trees and then I'll fall in love with Our Lady of Champion.
Totally.
But how can you beat the OLG story?
Yeah. I was going to go off on a tangent about...
Please do.
No, I was just going to say, well, it did happen here, but it's not here anymore. So.
Well, that's the other thing I was saying. It's like, where in Mexico did it happen? Was it when...
We're all on the same line.
Was it all when we were all together?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, or was it down south? I don't know.
No, it was still part of. It was still part of the Americas. Like we were just not separate yet.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay, so we've had two happen.
We can just say in the United States there is one apparition. Is that what you want to say?
Oh, yeah.
Only one approved.
Yeah. I don't know.
Renee, we love her too.
I know. That's what I'm saying. OLG is so cool that I don't know how OLC could beat her.
I just love that name. Like I wanna say like Our Lady of Champions, pray for us.
Yes.
You know?
Here we go. Buckle up.
I know Our Lady of Victory. Is she the same one? No.
Noelle, I think it is. They changed her name.
No.
Was it Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We just used to ask for
it's the same. Oh, it's different, Beth said.
Okay. You ever go to a Catholic school and like before a game, you're just like, Our Lady of Victory, no, pray for us.
I didn't do that. My Catholic school didn't talk about Mary or the saints. I'm learning it all with you guys right now. Yeah, Champion is in Wisconsin.
I think, okay.
That's what the people
guys,
tell me.
I have some homework to do.
Yeah, you got to read about her. Okay, what else do you guys have for fiction reads? Lexi, did you say you've read The Well by Stephanie Lansom? I didn't see your answer. Did you answer? No, I don't think so. So that's my favorite religious fiction. It's so good. I'm obsessed with it. It's by Lansom Stephanie. And what's cool about it is that she only uses, it's like fiction background of biblical people.
Mm-hmm.
And she only, the words that Jesus says in her book is words that are actually in scripture. So she doesn't extrapolate at all on what Jesus actually says. She only uses the words that are in the Gospels. And then it's like background info and story behind various characters. So like the woman at the well, Mary and Martha. And I won't tell you that third one because it's kind of like you get to the end and you're like, oh my gosh, this is who this book was about. It's so crazy.
What?
Yeah, it's so good. That's okay. Called The Thief. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
I have a question for you.
Okay, you've read that.
What do you going back to Belen's comment about like I grew up focused on prayer. I don't even know how to approach like a desire for reading scripture. What would you say to someone who's like, I don't even know how to get to?
To scripture. Well, I would say to read the Gospel of Mark.
Wow.
And just to read it and not feel any pressure of like, I have to get something out of it, but actually just to like sit down and read it. Like it's a story.
I'd love to do that altogether.
Yeah. Do you want to spoil?
No.
Tell the people.
I was just giving a little Easter egg.
Okay. We'll leave it as an Easter egg.
Stay tuned
totally.
On Thursday.
Totally. Beth and I will be live here on Thursday. What time is that at? We'll be sharing about a new something, something. Wink, wink. But yeah, I would just say Mark is my favorite gospel. And I think he's the easiest to read and packs a punch. And again, it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel very heady. Like sometimes I'll read St. Paul's letters and I'm like, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. You are a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like I have to pray often too, like, Lord, unveil this for me. Like, I feel like the word sometimes in scripture is like veiled and I do not understand what you're talking about. So I'll like intentionally have to ask for that. But yeah, I love the Gospel of Mark. If you're like, I have no idea where to start, that's a great place to start. What would you say though?
That's, I would like, where to start?
Or like if someone's like, I don't even know how to start reading scripture.
I would say you can always look up the readings for the day.
Love that.
And that's a great, yes, like to at least get you in the rhythm.
Totally.
And then you can actually just like sit and pray with like, is there a book or a verse that's been popping up or that's just kind of, I'm like, intrigued by or interested with, okay, then should I crack that book open, you know? And I think there are times where like I'll revisit a gospel or a book in the Bible because it's like coming up more frequent than not in prayer. So I'm like, okay, what do I need to, like right now, obviously it's post-resurrection. So like, I like reading Acts just because it's, I feel like I'm one of them, you know?
Yes, totally.
But it's because also it's a liturgical season. But there are times where I'm like, I'm in this, I just want to be in the Psalms and just feel very loved and lovey-dovey, you know?
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to at least start with the daily readings to get you into the rhythm of praying. And then just seeing like, it's okay to choose a book and like read that through.
Mm-hmm.
And then going down to the footnotes is always helpful because it usually references like scripture in another part. And then you can go check that out and find a little deeper meaning there.
Catherine has a question from earlier.
Okay.
Catherine, sorry for my delay. Would you say that we should avoid Protestants that come at you with facts about the practices of the Catholic faith, especially when they reference everything with the Bible?
I would say if someone is open to having a conversation, meaning listening and speaking, not just speaking at you, then you should totally engage in a conversation.
Yes.
I think it's very helpful to define terms and define just what true, like what is the truth to us. But if you feel like someone is coming at you to talk at you about something that you believe, I don't think you need to engage with that at all.
Mm.
Like you can say like, that's okay, thank you for sharing that with me, but I don't really think you really care to hear much about what I have to say. So, or you don't even have to say anything. You're like, oh, that's interesting. And you could just walk away, you know, but you can tell if someone's willing to actually listen to what you have to say, or if they're just trying to hear themselves and be proud of themselves for what the one liner they gave you.
It's good.
It's a very stiff answer. I'm sorry. That's it.
I love the saying, that's interesting, and walking away. That's amazing.
Because you're not saying that's good. You're totally just saying that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to give people links and things to read and to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's coming and asking me, and genuinely asking, not again, like Steph said, I think a huge difference is their posture and how they're coming to talk to you. Like, are they actually curious about what you have to say, or do they just want to say their own point?
Yeah.
So if their posture is open and like, well, what do Catholics believe about this? Mm-hmm. Then it's okay. Well, let's look at Catholic Answers is my favorite. Father Mike Schmitz has so much good stuff on YouTube or wherever you watch him.
He's very shareable.
Yeah. He's easy. It's short. It's always sure, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I love him. But yeah, again, if they're coming at like, what do Catholics say about this? This is all I know. Something that was really beautiful to me was when Beth and Father Parks and I did a little, what would you call that? Like, we did like an hour-long podcast on certain church teachings. So like, we talked about the Eucharist, we talked about confession, things like that. And Father would go back and continue to say throughout the episode, if someone's here, if you could drop the link for that, that would be amazing. Throughout the episode, he kept saying, because Jesus said so, because Jesus said so, because Jesus said so.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, just so, beautiful to me that he keeps coming back to, this is in scripture. Like, we do this as Catholics, as Christians, because it's in scripture. Mm-hmm. So really dispelled that kind of lie that I think sometimes Protestants say, which is like what Catholics believe isn't rooted in scripture. And Father Parks just kept saying, like, we do this because it's mm-hmm. from scripture. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Aubrey, for linking that down below.
I think also just another beauty of being Catholic is that it's not only scripture,
right?
You know, it's yeah. not, we don't only do things because of scripture. And if we did, then what would the early Christians be doing before the Bible was composed? They were doing traditions that they, yeah. that they were handed down. So we have a beautiful gift of keeping the traditions going. And so scripture is, obviously, it's the living word of God, and I think we need mm-hmm. to, like, stop being scared to be so familiar with it mm-hmm. And intimidated by it, because it can be intimidating. Oh, my gosh, I'm going through, like, Deuteronomy right now, and I'm just like, okay, cool.
Wow.
You know, but then yeah. I'm like, but it's, you know, it's just part, it's all part of the story.
Yes.
Or there'll be, like, a verse, you know, that sticks out, and I'm like, okay, there's some good nuggets in here, even though the rest of it is just kind of a little draggy for me. You know, so thank the Lord that it's not only, we don't, our faith is not only based on scripture. We have the beautiful traditions of our church as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What made you want to read Deuteronomy, you and Anya?
Oh, it's because we're reading Bible in a year.
Oh, I see. That is very yeah, cool.
No, I'm hanging out in Acts on my own, but Bible okay. in a year, we're doing Deuteronomy.
Wow.
Yeah. To doozy.
That's interesting. All right, guys. Well, we love you. I think the main thing that I'm taking away from this is that the Lord will illuminate at different times in our lives what he wants from us. If mm-hmm. you are in a time of like deep suffering and pain, you're like, can't even get into anything, just sit at his feet and be with him. Mm-hmm. But if you are in a time where you're like, I do kind of feel drawn to something, or Lord, give me the desire to want to read or learn more about you or read scripture, I just want to invite all of us to do that, to yeah. pray for that.
Yeah, I just want to leave with, like, the Lord will reveal himself to each and every one of us
yeah.
the way that he knows that we can receive it and understand him and accept that revelation. So he will reveal himself best to you the way that mm-hmm. is best for you. And so we encourage you to reach out, ask questions.
Yes.
And check out our blogs, I think. Even on our website, we have so much stuff there where it's like, it's just good info.
So, lots of good book recs too.
Yes, we do have some good book recs there.
Yeah. All anyway. Right. Love you guys. We'll see you so soon. Bye-bye. Bye.